Well, I'm so glad I have the whole evening to minister to you. So if you're ready for the next 8 hours, I want you to turn with me to James chapter 5. Yeah, I've been on this around the world trip, and I do this maybe 2 times a year, maybe at the most 3 times, but because it's cheaper, actually, and that's the reason why. So I hit as many places that I can during the around the world trip. But it just hit me as we were worshiping. This is the first time in 2 weeks I've worshiped in English. Because every place I've been, it's been either Cantonese or, you know, Mandarin, or I was in Sao Paulo, so it was in Portuguese. And it's so good just to worship with you guys. So I've been blessed already being here, and just powerful words. And what an honor to be here with you. I was just really moved by our brother as he shared about his testimony about his wrist getting healed just sovereignly. And we've seen that happen many times. I'll never forget one of our church members, Jenny. She was born like 75% deaf in both ears, and she had the very major hearing aid. And right in the middle of worship, wasn't a healing service, a Sunday morning, in fact, her hearing aid exploded in her ear. She thought it was malfunctioning. And she took the hearing aid off, and she realized her ears were totally healed. And that was the last time she ever used hearing aid. And that's just the sovereignty and goodness of God. How many know God's a good God? Amen. No prayer, no words of knowledge. It was just something that just happened. I'll never forget another girl who was dyslexic. She could never read the words on the screen. And all of a sudden, as she's worshiping, all of a sudden she could read perfectly, just sovereignly, being healed. And, you know, there's a verse in Luke chapter 5:17 says, the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick. It doesn't say power was leaving Jesus' body. There are other verses for that, or people touched him and experienced his power, like the woman with the issue of blood. It says the power was present to heal the sick. So what I want to do is I want to just welcome the Holy Spirit here. And I want you to help me. And I want you to stand to your feet again, if you could be kind enough to do that. And just put your hand out like this in a posture of not only worship, but also receiving. It's just like a child, when a father has a gift for that child, they have their hand open to receive that, right? Well, our Heavenly Father wants to give good gifts to you. And the words is, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And so, Father, we thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We honor you here. I ask that you would refresh every person here, those who've had a long week, a hard day. I pray that you would refresh them. Lord, we thank you for the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit, the Prince of Peace, that the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those who are discouraged, Lord, I ask you to break off the discouragement, the heaviness. And Lord, I loose joy into people's hearts. We thank you for the magnificent cross, Lord, how you died for our sins so that we could have life eternal, but heaven here on earth. Now, Lord, I just pray that you would stretch forth your hands and heal, even during the service, even before we begin to pray at the end of the service. And we thank you that you're the healer, and you'll get all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. James chapter 5, a number of years ago, I wrote a book called How to Pray for Healing, and I used this text as a springboard text. And it's interesting because in verse 13, James 5:13, it begins by saying, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. It's interesting that when you are going through suffering, another version says trials or tribulation, you're to pray. And Jesus himself said, through much tribulation, you enter the kingdom. And so through life, life is challenging. And, you know, you're going through go through trials and suffering. And when you do, you're to pray. You need to connect with God the Father. And because he doesn't say necessarily that you're going to get through the trials right away. But here's God's heart. When you go through trials, Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 5. He says, I exalt in my tribulation knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, perseverance, character, and character hope. And hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in my hearts through the Holy Spirit. What's he saying there in Romans 5, 3 through 5? He's saying that as I rejoice in the midst of the challenges I'm going through, God's using that to develop Christ-like character, so there's a purpose behind that. He causes all things to work together for good. So we're going to go through trials. But the point I want to make is that there's a difference between going through trials and sickness. And here we see that if you're sick, here's what you're to do. God has a solution. He has a remedy. He's a call for the elders of the church. It would be like the house church leaders here. And even this evening, at the end of the service, I'm going to call for the house church leaders and those on the ministry team to help me pray for the sick. And let them anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will heal the one who's sick. And so we see, obviously, throughout Scripture, God wants you healed. You're going to go through trials, but there's a difference between trials and sickness. God does not give cancer to help you to become Christ-like. He doesn't give you some kind of heart disease or some kind of incurable disease in order for you to become more holy. There's enough problems in life that God will use to help us to develop character. But what father would give his child cancer or polio or some kind of incurable disease? I mean, that's monstrous. And of course, we would never think about that. I have four grandchildren now, you know. I would just want to bless them. But it's amazing how we have a warped theology because we think because God's sovereign and he allows everything to happen, therefore God is the one behind the cancer. And I want to just say I differ. Because the Bible says Satan, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. We see how he went about, in Acts 10:38, went about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Now, that's a key verse, because in verse 38, Acts 10:38, is that he went about doing good, healing all. So God's a good God, and he's a healer. Healed all who are oppressed of the devil. The oppression comes from the enemy. And we need to learn how to take our stand and to resist the devil, and he will flee. And so we see that God's will is for you to be healed, and we see how Jesus went about doing good and healing, and then gives the mandate to the apostles and to all of us to heal the sick, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Why? Because his message is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Think about it. Matthew chapter 4, 17, Jesus comes on the scene and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean? Repent, by the way, is not just turning away from your sin. Literally, the Greek word metanoia means change the way you think. Do a paradigm shift. Because the Jewish people also thought heaven is only attained after you die. But Jesus is saying you don't have to wait till you die. You could have heaven here on earth now, the abundant life here on earth. That's why he taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. So on earth as it is in heaven. So let me ask you a question. Is there sickness in heaven? Is there cancer in heaven? Is there depression in heaven? So his prayer for us that he taught us to pray on earth as it is in heaven. So we see how he then destroyed the works of the devil by healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead. And then he turns around and says the same to you. Now freely you've received, freely give. Now think about it. We're so wonderfully and fearfully made, David says that in the Psalms, that your body naturally heals itself. If you cut your finger, it immediately starts to heal itself. You know, I just had a paper cut on my pinky. And, you know, those little cuts are sometimes the most painful. And I was just saying, wow, how that hurt. And I had to clot the blood and all of a sudden. And then I went online and I was trying to type. And all of a sudden, the pain, just from that small little paper cut, I couldn't type. And so I backed off from working on my computer. And then all of a sudden, I forgot all about it. And then I went back to my computer, and I started to type. And I would say, oh, wait a minute. My finger healed itself within the hour and a half that I had abstained from using the computer. It's amazing how our body will naturally heal, because God has made you that way. And he heals through doctors. My brother's a surgeon. He's a part of our church. I'm surrounded by doctors. My wife's parents are both retired physicians. And so, you know, think about some of the incredible breakthrough in medical science. I was mentioning polio. Jonas Sachs, 1955, if he didn't come up with the polio vaccination, I mean, this was one of the most dreadful illness because it attacked children. And they said back in the 50s, after the atomic bomb was invented, the two things people were afraid was atomic warfare and polio. I mean, you think about influenza. Influenza in 1918 killed, in 1 year, killed 3 million Americans. More than those who died in World War I. But an antibiotic was invented, and now you don't even hear about influenza. The marvel, and I believe all wisdom comes from God. Those who get the cure for influenza or polio, I believe, and also in the future, I believe cancer is going to be cured. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a Christian was the one to find the cure for cancer or for AIDS? Can I hear an amen? Because God knows all things, and he's given to us his wisdom, his righteousness, and his sanctification. So God uses medicine, and he uses doctors and research, and so he wants you to be healed that way as well. But he also wants to heal you supernaturally. So I've seen God heal naturally. I've seen God heal through doctors. And I thank God for doctors. You know, I had bursitis in my left shoulder for like a year. I was working out, and I hurt my shoulder, and I was just believing God for healing. Laid hands on my shoulder. I asked God to heal it. Nothing worked. And so I just, you know, endured it. It wasn't that bad so that, you know, I couldn't function. So I had it for like a year. And my wife just said, you know, Jerry Schultz, he's an orthopedic surgeon. He's one of the top shoulder surgeons. He's a member of our church. Why don't you go see him? And he's part of Kaiser, and you're a member of Kaiser. And then you can see him for free, you know, essentially. And he would see you anyway because you're his pastor. So I went to Jerry, and I just said, Jerry, you know, I've had this problem for a year. And I finally, you know, after believing God for a healing, I'm just humbling myself coming here. He said, well, let's take an x-ray. Let's find out what's wrong. And he says, what you have is, he took the x-ray, you have classical bursitis, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to do these certain stretch exercises, and whatever you do, don't do military press. There's certain kind of exercise you are to avoid. So he gave me wisdom, told me certain things to avoid, and the stretches I'm supposed to do. And you know what? It's like I'm like 95% healed just from the advice he gave me, just one visit from a doctor who has the wisdom of God. So thank God for doctors. Can we thank God for doctors? Any doctors here? Thank God for doctors and for how they're used to heal the sick. But what I'm after is supernatural healing. And we see how God supernaturally heals. And he says one of the ways is when you're sick, call for the pastors. The word elder, presbyteros, is used interchangeably for the word pastor. So basically saying call for the pastors. You know, and here's my suggestion. I think if we follow biblical directives, we'll see more biblical results. What we do when we're sick, the first thing we do is we'll grab the medicine first, right? Or maybe we'll see a doctor next. And then maybe when we've done everything we can, like what I just did, you know, then, you know, it's like as last resort, okay, I'll go to church and maybe ask the pastor to pray for me. Here's what the Bible says. The first thing you should do is ask the pastors to pray. If you're sick, call for the pastors. I'll never forget when one of my wife's best friend, Connie DeBoard, she was vice president of a marketing company in Pasadena, and she was a divorcee, and then she remarried when she was around mid-50s, and so she couldn't have any children, always wanted children. But somehow she qualified to adopt a Chinese baby from mainland China, and so Connie and David adopted a beautiful girl named Esther, and now Esther is a young teenager. But I'll never forget when they came back from China, she called my wife and said, I don't know, I must have caught some kind of flu when I was in China. I can hardly, you know, I took my temperature, I have 103 degree temperature, I could hardly move, I'm in so much pain. Could you watch Esther? And she felt so bad. Here she just brought this baby and she's calling my wife. Now my wife is an amazing mom. You know, she was a special ed teacher, her mom's a pediatrician, so she grew up, you know, loving children and of course, raised our children. She said, of course, I'll be happy to help Esther. We thought it was just going to be a 24-hour thing, but it ended up being 3 days watching her. And finally, she went to the doctor, and I'll never forget when she called Sue and me, and she was weeping on the phone. She said, I went to Yorba Linda, the hospital there. They said, I have acute leukemia, and I have cancer, and they want treatment starting Monday. And they said, for my age, this is really, really deadly. And so she was shocked that what she thought was some kind of flu was acute leukemia. And I said to Connie, I said, Connie, you know, you don't have to be there until Monday, but can you come to service on Sunday because I want to pray for you on Sunday? And she said, Pastor, I don't know, I'm so sick. You know, just listen, let David drive you, but all of our pastors will be there instead of all of us trying to come to your house. Just come 5 minutes, we'll pray for you, and then you could go home and rest, and then you could see your doctor on Monday. And she said, I'll do it. Now, as pastors, we pray every Sunday before our service, and today we open it up for everyone in the church. But back in those days, it was just the pastors. And, you know, we have around 26 pastors today. Back then, it was around 7. And so the pastors gathered around Connie, and we laid hands on her. And immediately, one of the pastors discerned that she picked up a curse when she was in China. And so he just took authority over that demonic spirit, whatever that spirit was when she was in China. And she went into a demonic manifestation. Now, I thought Connie was, you say, you know, she's a spirit-filled, beautiful Christian. But something, a door opened up. I'm not here to judge. But all I can tell you, she got delivered and she got instantly healed. The pain left, the fever left. She said, I feel so good, I'm going to stay for the service. And so she stayed for the service, called David in, and she, you know, testified. She said, I wanted to give a testimony. And she just said, you know, I was diagnosed with acute leukemia, but I know God healed me just now. As the pastors prayed over me, I feel fantastic. And we all applauded and all that. Now it's Monday. And so she calls the doctor to cancel her treatment in Yorba Linda. And so she said, because, you know, she said, I'm not going to fight through rush hour. I'm not going to go down to Orange County and get my... And so she calls the doctor and he cancels, and she explains how she got healed. Of course, the doctor doesn't, you know, he doesn't have a worldview, a biblical worldview. He said, young lady, do you realize what you have? You have leukemia. You have acute leukemia. You need to get down here immediately. And before you know it, they're arguing on the phone. And now he's yelling at her, get down. And she realizes, I better go down there because I'm not going to placate him. There's no way I can convince him over the phone, and he's not going to be off of my back until I go down. So she drives and makes her way to Yorba Linda, California. She takes test after test after test, blood test. The doctors are absolutely amazed. There's absolutely no trace of cancer, no trace of leukemia. She was totally healed by the grace of God because the pastors prayed. Pastors have authority. Now, here's the beautiful thing. You see the transition from pastors praying, and later on it says, pray for one another, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another, because all of you can pray for the sick. Mark 16:17 says, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, you'll cast out demons. You shall lay your hands on the sick, and they will recover. How many believers do we have here? Okay. Every hand that you can do it. If you can't raise your hand, I pray you don't leave this place without becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? And you believe in Jesus. But if you're a believer, if you're a follower, you are a carrier of the glory of God. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you have the power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you. And what's the key? The key is faith, because look at James 5. Let's just read on. It says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The prayer of faith. The two things that the devil will try to distort, the first thing he'll distort is the nature and character of God. He'll try to distort that God is not a good God, that he's mad, he's mean, you know, he's judgmental, which is absolutely a lie from the pit of hell, right? He is a good father. I mean, think about it. When Moses said, show me your glory, which is the manifest presence of God in Exodus 33, God could have said a number of things about himself, his holiness, his wisdom, his power, but the Bible says, I'll allow my goodness to pass over you. He's a good father. Amen? And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And so the devil will distort that image of a good father. And a lot of us really have an orphan heart because we had bad relationship with our earthly dads. And as a result of that, it's tainted, and God wants to just dismantle that. And that's why it's so important for you to renew your mind on the Word of God. Okay? We're transformed by the renewal of our mind, not the removal of our mind, but the renewal of our mind. And so you need to be in the Word. The second thing he'll distort, who you are in Christ. Because a lot of you will say, you know, who am I? You know, I can't heal the sick. No, I'm a child of the living God. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I'm a king and a priest. Revelation 1:6 says you're kings and priests. I mean, think about it. This is revolutionary because you have to understand. Again, I was talking about the Roman Catholic Church, and please just hear my heart. I love the whole church. I wouldn't have been invited to the Vatican if I was anti-Catholic. I am not anti-Catholic. I believe there are believers in the Roman Catholic Church. I just disagree with a lot of their doctrine, but they're true believers, and I think Pope Francis is a true believer. But the point I want to say is that the truth that came out of the Reformation, the priesthood of all believers, was revolutionary. Instead of just going to a priest as a mediator for him to pray on your behalf, you have direct access to God, all of you are priests. What is a priest? A priest is a minister. What is a minister? You know, you have, for example, I have a friend of mine that's running for prime minister of a nation. What is a prime? A minister means servant. You're a servant. The word ministry in the Greek is diakonos. The same Greek word for service is used for ministry. It's used interchangeably. Prime means you're the first of all you're to serve. And so a prime minister is to serve. And so prime job description is to serve. And all of you are servants. All of you are ministers. You happen to be more ministers in the marketplace. I don't know what the stat is in Hong Kong, but in the United States, only 1% of the church is in full-time ministry like me. 99% are in the marketplace. It's ridiculous to think that 1% is going to bring about revival and transformation of society. No, our job is to equip you for the work of ministry, Ephesians 4:11, right? So all of you are ministers, so I'm going to ask you this question. It's not a hard exam. It's an open book exam, and I already gave you the answer. How many ministers do we have here? Okay, every hand should go up. Okay. And so because you are ministers, you can do this stuff. You can pray for the sick. You can cast out demons. And God wants to cultivate that and develop that in your life, right? But the prayer of faith, the key is faith. Now, faith is somewhat complex in the sense that it's multidimensional. Because here we see, for example, prayer often faith is referring to the pastors praying. Their prayer of faith will heal the one who's sick. There have been times where I have to admit I am not in faith when I pray for the sick. I never forget, this has only happened one time in my life. It's around 4 years now. And I shared that this testimony with you when I was here last time, that when I was in Madison, Wisconsin, we have a church plant in Madison, Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin. A girl came up to me, and she said, "Can you pray for my right eye?" I said, "What's wrong with your right eye?" She said, "I was born blind in my right eye." Now, when she told me she was born blind, immediately whatever faith I had just dissipated, because I've never seen anyone born blind get healed. I've seen blind people get healed, but not born blind. And so I was actually leaving. The ministry time had already taken place. I was leaving. A car was waiting for me to take me to Chicago. Chicago's a two-hour drive from University of Wisconsin. And I had to minister in Chicago. And I said, okay, so I just prayed a simple prayer. And when I took my hand off of her eye, right eye, she started to cry and she started to scream. She said, I can see your face. I can see you. And I said, really? Are you kidding me? Because I just didn't have faith. You know, I just didn't believe it was going to happen. I'm just being honest with you. But see, here's the thing. She had faith. So sometimes it's not your faith, but it's a person. And in fact, when you see people being healed in the New Testament, it was a person's faith. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. The woman with the issue of blood, daughter, go in peace. Your faith has healed you, see. And so tonight, I want you to be in faith for your healing. And so one of the ways we're going to be praying for you is that, you know, we're going to pray, and I'm going to give some words of knowledge out. Now, what's a word of knowledge? A word of knowledge are prophetic impressions that we can all receive. Some people are more accurate than others. I'm not that accurate. I'm not more prophetic. My wife says you're more pathetic than prophetic, but anyway, that's a side note. But there's some who are very, very accurate. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to do my best. My commitment to you is to do my best to do some listening prayer, hear from Jesus. I could miss it, but I'm going to speak what I sense from the Lord. Your responsibility is to say, that's for me. I claim that. He's talking about me. Because you have two options. You could just say, well, that's for someone else, and you're not going to get healed. Or you could say, no, that's for me. And faith is now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And you have to be active. You have to just say, I receive that for myself. And when you do, that's when the healing takes place, all right? So faith is multidimensional, but faith is absolutely crucial. I probably the greatest miracle I ever saw, a creative miracle, people have asked me, what's the most amazing thing you've ever seen? I'll never forget, he was sent out to plant a church, who is a Hispanic church, but Lewis was our church member, and we pray for the sick every Sunday, by the way. So if you come to H Rock, we pray for the sick. We have our ministry team praying for the sick. And especially the second service, because it's open-ended, you know, after the second service. And so first service, we're trying to clear the parking area. So Lewis comes up, and he has his hand bandaged. He has his arm in a sling. He's waiting in line patiently, and I'm praying for the sick. And so finally he comes up to me. He's in my line. And I said, Lewis, what can I do for you? And he said, and I looked at his wrist. I thought he had cracked his wrist. I thought he had maybe fractured his wrist. And he said, Pastor, my daughter and I were trimming the hedges. Amber and I were trimming the hedges, and she accidentally cut off my finger. And so I took the finger, I rushed to the hospital hoping I could sew it, but they said no, it was totally severed, and so it was cut off my second. So they sewed me up, and here's what he said. But I believe that God wants to grow my finger out, and I believe that he wants to do a creative miracle. Now, I have to be honest with you, I did not have faith for that. But here's what I said. I said, Lewis, if you believe that God wants to grow your finger out, as your pastor, I'm going to agree with you and stand with you. So I prayed for him, and that was it. I didn't see him for like another 3 months. He was at church, but, you know, he wasn't in the prayer line. 3 months later, he's in prayer line, but he is in my line, but he has his hand behind his back like this. So he comes up to me. I said, Lewis, how can I pray for you? He said, Pastor, remember 3 months ago you prayed for my finger to grow out? I said, yeah, I remember that. Whatever happened? He said, well, it started to grow out, but it was growing out really slowly. And so I decided to wait until it fully grown out. And I want to show you, it's totally grown out. And plus, he's given me a brand new fingernail. And I have a brand new finger and a brand new fingernail. God is my witness. Come on, let's give Jesus the glory. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I did not have faith for that. But he did. He had faith. He came to me in faith. He was believing God for something that's just crazy faith. I'm believing God for a creative miracle. And, you know, here's the principle. If God could grow a finger out, why not an amputated leg or a limb? You see, what's the difference? It's just a matter of scale, right? And so it just gave me faith that God wants to do creative miracles. God is the creator of the universe. He spoke the universe into being, and he's still doing creative miracles. And he wants to do creative miracles tonight. So we see how faith is absolutely crucial. But then look at James 5, the next verse here. Here's something that he goes and shifts, and he says, now confess your sins to one another, in verse 16, and pray for one another that you might be healed. James is shifting gears because he knows that sometimes prayers don't get answered for healing because there's a blockage. That's why the psalmist says, if I have sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And if there's sin in your life, it could hinder the healing. And so he says, deal with the root issue, confess your sins with one another, and pray for one another. The second thing I wanted to highlight is that now he's moving from the pastors praying to you guys praying for each other, that you have authority, you have the power. And I've seen this happen. You know, there's so many times when we deal with the root issue, there, for example, bitterness. This is a common issue, that so many Christians carry unforgiveness. And I prayed for people to be healed. Nothing's happened. I'll never forget the first time this happened. A woman came up to me, and she had rheumatoid arthritis. She was in her maybe 60s, and her hands were like knots like this. And she prayed for she asked me for prayer, and I prayed for her, and I asked her to move her fingers if it was any improvement. She said nothing at all. And I prayed for her a second time, and no change whatsoever. And then I asked her this question. I just felt like taking a step back and asking her, is there anyone that you're still bitter towards? And she said, yes, my late husband. He died 5 years ago. I hated him then, and I still hate him today. I mean, no, that's a big case of bitterness. He's not even around, and she still hated him. I said, wow. I said, are you a Christian? Because I wanted to not assume. Maybe she's not a believer. And she said, yes, I gave my life to Jesus. I said, did he forgive you of your sins? He said, yes. Then how could you withhold sin, forgiveness from anyone? He says, forgive as I've forgiven you. She said, well, if I do it, it would be hypocritical. I have no feelings. I said, wait a minute. He didn't say forgive if you feel sincere about it. It's out of obedience. We forgive. And I said, I'll tell you what. Let me lead you in a prayer. You just repeat after me. And just, you know, let's make a decision, a quality decision, to forgive your late husband. So she said, okay. And so she began to repeat after me, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father. And when she came to, and I forgive my late husband, was like a dam that was holding back all her emotion. It just was released, and she just began to sob and weep, all the bitterness, all the hatred. It was poison in her system. And you know, I didn't have to pray for her the third time for her to be healed of arthritis. She said, look, and her hand just opened up right in front of me. And I've seen this time and time again. I was in Las Vegas, and I wasn't even doing a healing service. I was at our HIM church, not playing the games in Las Vegas, but I was speaking at a church. And I was speaking on the Father's heart. I was talking from Malachi chapter 4, 5, and 6, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to fathers, talking about just getting reconciled with your parents. And there was a girl, she was maybe around 14, 15 years old. She was standing in the back on crutches, and I found this out that she was a skateboarder, very good skateboarder. And she had broken her fibula in a skateboard accident. And so they had to do an operation, surgery. They had to put pins in. It was very complex. But they thought that she would heal after 6 months. And now this is a year later, and she still was not healed. And she was in excruciating pain. So she's standing in the back on her crutches, and her mom's sitting next to her. And so when I just say, listen, if you have any bitterness towards your parents, forgive them, then I just want to lead you in prayer. Now, she had bitterness towards her dad because her dad left her and her mom when she was a little girl. And they're divorced. And so when I was speaking about forgiveness, she said, and here's what happened. When she prayed the prayer and forgave her dad for leaving her, all of a sudden she's standing and she was in pain. She turns to her mom and says, I feel no pain in my leg. And she said, well, why don't you walk around? Just, you know, you're in the back. Just walk around. And Tessa lays aside her crutches, walks around. And she said, Mom, I feel absolutely no pain. And then she says, I'm going to go outside and run in the parking lot. So she goes outside the parking lot of the building. She runs laps in the parking lot, comes back sweating. She said, Mom, I am totally healed. There's no more pain. Well, what happened? She confessed her sins. She repented of that bitterness. And that blockage was now removed, and the healing came just sovereignly. It wasn't even the healing service. You know, I've seen amazing healings. It's amazing. Autoimmune problems is when the white cells that should attack disease and sickness turns around and attacks your own body. For example, MS is when the white cells attack your nervous system. Diabetes is when the white cells attack your pancreas. And arthritis is when the white cells attack your joints. And it's incurable. Doctors will say autoimmune problems are incurable. But I've seen more autoimmune problems getting healed when they do two things. Number one, forgive others. And number two, when they repent of self-hatred and self-rejection. Now, let me elaborate. It's amazing how many people don't like themselves. They feel that they're not good-looking, they're overweight, they have problems, et cetera, et cetera. But you got to understand, He's given us a command to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. What does that mean? It's not being narcissistic. It's not self-love. It means that you value humanity. You're made in the image of God. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's why for us as believers, we value life. That's why we think of abortion as a hideous sin. The Muslims, they don't value life. They don't even believe that God would become a man. See, when we realize that God himself became man, it's not just God humbling himself, it's showing how much we're worth. Because you pay something that's extremely extravagant for something that's valuable, and for God's perspective, he says this in Psalm 8, he says, I made you a little bit lower than myself, and I crowned you with honor and glory. You're going to be judging angels. His order of creation is not the angelic world and then humanity. It's God and then it's us. And then it's the angelic world. You know, it's amazing how much he loves us and that he would become man and to affirm our dignity as humanity made in the image of God. And so when you repent of self-hatred and just feel like I'm a loser, I'm not successful in life, and just all the negativity that you pour on yourself and repent of that, all of a sudden, see, here's what I believe. My theory is this, is that autoimmune problems is you're commanding yourself to self-destruct. You're being suicidal in your thoughts even. And you're making your white cells attack your body. I'll never forget when I spoke this at a pastor's conference in Singapore. It was a Naomi Dowdy's Trinity Church, Assembly of God Church, great church there. And a pastor who was all the way from Norway was attending this church growth conference. And when I spoke about self-hatred, he said, you're describing me. He had severe diabetes. His diabetes was so bad that he was going blind. For those who know anything about diabetics, is that it can cause you to lose your eyesight. And so he could hardly see. And he said, when you talked about self-hatred, it was like speaking right to me because I hated myself. I felt I was a loser. I felt like I was a failure as a pastor. I had a small church. I felt like I had, you know, my kids and my family was, I was losing my kids. And so he was just all these negative things about himself. And when you spoke that, I repented. I came up to the altar and I repented. Now he wrote a letter to me 6 months describing all this because I had no idea what was going on in the service. But he said, I repented, and then I went back to my hotel, and I took my blood test, and I couldn't believe my blood sugar level was normal right off the bat. I went back to Oslo, Norway, and I've been tracking myself, and my doctors are amazed, my family's amazed. For the last 6 months, there's been no trace of diabetes. I've lost 80 pounds. I can eat sugar, and there's no blood spike, and it's because he repented of self-hatred. So I'm going to ask you to confess your sins before we pray. That if there's things that you don't like about yourself, you need to repent of that. And we've got to realize, you know, God, you made me special. I am a child of the living God. And Christ dwells within me. I mean, not only is one thing to forgive us, but to say, I want to dwell within you. I want to be one with you. That's why Paul says it's a mystery that we're one as a bride with Christ. You know, and he can't fathom that because the metaphor that God uses, he calls us his bride. It's one thing to just be adopted as his children, but he calls us his bride. There's something sacred and holy about that union. That's why marriage is so sacred. That's why same-sex marriage is really not only unbiblical, but I think it's an abomination. Because you cannot multiply between two men or two. And his whole, see, you're made in the image of God, not just as an individual, but and not just as man and woman. But I believe man, woman with a child is a reflection of the triune being of God. Three in one. And that's how we glorify God, is with family, see? And so God's after family. And so we need to realize who we are in Christ, that we're wonderful and in Christ. Tell the person next to you, you're wonderful in Jesus. Go ahead, you're wonderful. Tell them that. You are wonderful. You are a king, priest, you're a child of the living God. And tell them you're not bad looking as well. Go ahead, tell them you're not bad. All right. But we got to break off that negativity, the curse, the rejection, the spirit of self-rejection, self-hatred off of us. And as we do that, we're going to see how God moves. Now, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. He closed by saying, you know, we need to get right with God. We need to get right with one another. And if you need to get right, righteousness is not just getting right with God, it means being right with one another. If you need to forgive and you need to get reconciled, you know, if they don't know the issue, but if you know that there's been tension between you and another brother and sister, you know, it was amazing. I was just at the hotel here, just, I'm so well taken care of whenever I come to Hong Kong. But I'm sorry, it wasn't at this hotel, it was a hotel in Hong Kong before I was here. But they have an omelet station, right? And so for breakfast, you go down as part of the room. And so I ordered an omelet. Now, when you order an omelet, it's very specific what you want, right? It's not a generic omelet. It's like, I want this, that, you pick what you want in it. And so I'm waiting for my omelet. And so he was working on two omelets at the same time. So I turn around just to see what else was on the, you know, on the buffet table for breakfast. And so I come back to pick up my omelet because I'm sure he's done. And he said, oh, I am sorry, but I gave it to someone else. I said, how do you give away another person's omelet? I mean, they may not even like what I ordered, you know? But all of a sudden, I picked up an attitude in my heart. I was just upset. I said, how could you give away a specialized omelet? And I'm sitting there, and I just, you know, because I was running late, and I had no time for getting a new one. And the Lord began to convict me. He said, you're bitter towards that guy for giving away your omelet. And I said, you're right, Lord. And he said, now I want you to go and ask him for forgiveness. I said, I'm not going to go to some guy's making omelet, ask for forgiveness. He said, I want you to go and ask for forgiveness. But, you know, I had to obey the Lord. And I went up to him and I just said, you know, this may sound crazy, but I just know that the way I responded to you, he didn't even know. I said, the way I responded in my heart was just not right. And I want you to forgive me for giving away my omelet. He looked at me stunned. He didn't know how to respond. He just nodded his head, you know. But the point being is that I know I had to get right. See, it wasn't for him. It was for me. And so we want to make sure that there's nothing hindering prayer. When it comes to prayer, I mean, again, that's why I said the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. That's how he closes out this passage in James 5. And a lot of you may be wondering, why have I been praying for something for so long and I've just not gotten a breakthrough? Why is it that, you know, I'm praying biblical prayers, I'm praying things that I know is God's will, but I just haven't gotten the kind of breakthrough? Well, maybe because he's waiting for you to get reconciled with someone in the body of Christ. It's not enough just to confess and say, Lord, I forgive that person. But if you know, the Bible says, here's what it says, if you're bringing your gift at the altar, and you know that, in other words, you're coming to service to give an offering, but you know someone has something against you, leave your gift, go, and get reconciled to your brother and sister, and then come and worship me. That's what he's saying in the Sermon on the Mount. And so I'm going to ask you to make that commitment this weekend, that you would get right with someone that has hurt you, that you could reconcile, to forgive. And even if they don't accept your reconciliation, it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, as far as it depends upon you, be at peace with everyone. At least you made the effort and your conscience is clear. But to me, this is the most critical thing when it comes to prayer, because I love praying. In fact, my wife and I, we pray every day together, no matter where I am around the world. Thank God for FaceTime. Thank God for Skyping. But we agree in prayer every day. And it's just something that we do when we're at home. And when I'm on the road, we pray together. I love prayer. But I know one thing that will hinder prayer in my 43 years of walking with the Lord is if there's anything that is not right with the Lord when it comes to interpersonal relationship, relationship breakdown, and if you harbor any bitterness in your heart towards others. So I want to pray right now. And I just don't want you to stand up yet, but I just want you to pray. And I want you to ask the Lord to search your heart. The psalmist says, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, and see if there be any evil way within me, and lead me in your everlasting way. And if there has been judgments, maybe you've been bitter towards leadership, you know, just judgments. You don't like something that's happened to you. Repent of that. Forgive. Maybe when I mentioned about, you know, having an orphan heart, maybe your dad left you. Or maybe he was there, but he was absent. And he was abusive. Maybe it was your mom. I want you to forgive. And then if you feel that, yeah, there's been some real self-rejection, self-hatred, you just feel like you're a loser, you don't like yourself, you don't like what you do, you feel like you're not successful, and you just, no matter what you do, it just doesn't seem to satisfy you, you need to repent. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You need to honor yourself that you are a child of the living God, made in his image, bought by the blood. And just go ahead, just talk with the Lord right now. Now, I know in a group this size, there may be some who have never given their hearts to Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, I tell you, you know, 43 years ago, I mean, I'm amazed I'm up here as we were singing how far you've led us. Because I was a drug addict. I was a drug pusher. I was a high school dropout. Rejected Christianity, what my parents believed in. I went into Zen Buddhism, Eastern religion. And one day, I just said, God, I don't even know if you exist. But if you do exist, reveal yourself to me. And I was shocked he revealed himself to me in the person of Jesus Christ. For the next 3 days, I could not stop weeping. No one witnessed to me. No one talked to me. I just had his love just envelop me. And I didn't know what was going on. I didn't realize that we were in the midst of a revival called the Jesus People Movement, where all these unbelievers were getting awakened and coming to know Jesus. But within 2 weeks, I was completely off of drugs. I became a follower of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't until a year later that I found a good church. So I was going through this spiritual journey on my own. But it's been amazing, his faithfulness, his grace in my life. And if you don't know the Lord and you would like to know the God I serve, I want you to pray this prayer with me. In fact, let's all pray this together. Just to support those who may be making a first-time commitment or a rededication. Would you pray with me? Just say, Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sins. I repent. Jesus, I give you my life. By your grace, I choose to forgive all those who have hurt me. And by your grace, I will follow you, obey you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Now I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to take some courage. Jesus said, if you accept me before men, I'll accept you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to ask you in a moment, I'm going to count to three. And if you pray that for the first time or a major rededication, I'm talking about a real serious recommitment, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand. And by raising your hand, you're making a step of faith. You're just doing something to say, yes, faith without action is dead, and I'm making that recommitment. I'm making that commitment. Because I believe as you raise your hand, you're going to be a lightning rod for the grace of God, and that grace is going to just absolutely transform you. It's going to help you get rid of any kind of addictions, besetting sins, bondages. You're going to be set free. But I want you to boldly raise your hand when I count to three. Are you ready? One, two, three. Go ahead and raise your hand and hold it up high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, now what I'm going to ask you at the end of the service, you know, I mean, just tell someone next to you, just I'm making a commitment or a recommitment to Jesus. Tell them right now because I want them to follow up on you and care for you, okay? Because I want to move into healing right now. So those who raise your hand, would you just turn to the person next to you and just said, I just raised my hand and I'm making a commitment to Jesus. Go ahead and do that. Just go ahead and tell the person next to you. Now, this is important. I want to pray for the sick, but I want those, if you are suffering even physical pain or you have some kind of sickness, disease, especially if it's incurable, I want you to stand to your feet wherever you are. Just stand to your feet. Now I'm going to ask those who are sitting down to put their hand on your shoulder or put their hand towards you, because everyone is anointed here, okay? And if no one comes to you, put your own hand on your own body. And all those who stood up for healing, would you just repeat after me? But I want you to pray it out loud. I want to pray the prayer of faith, and I want you to pray it out loud with me, okay? And just repeat after me. Just say, Heavenly Father, I believe in your word. Your word says, Jesus went about doing good, healing all oppression from the devil. So in Jesus' mighty name, I rebuke the devil, and I command the spirit of infirmity, this pain to leave my body now in the name of Jesus. I said, let the Holy Spirit just come upon you right now. As people are laying hands or putting their hand towards you, the Holy Spirit's touching you. Some of you are actually feeling like a tingling sensation coming over you, or just feeling His presence envelop you. I say, more, Lord, more of your power. See, the Holy Spirit's a healer. That's why it says, anoint that person with oil in the name of the Lord in James 5. The oil is not medicine. It is representative of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You're invoking His presence. So as you're praying for the person next to you, just say, more Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Just tell them, more Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to give some words of knowledge. There's someone here with pain in your digestive system. There's been problems in your digestive system. And you even had pain tonight. And God's healing you and taking away that pain. And what I'm going to ask you to do when I give out these words of knowledge, do something to test it if you can. Some things you have to go to a doctor, get a blood test and all that, and I get that. But some things I'm going to ask you, like if you had an injury to a certain part of your body, I'm going to ask you to move that part of the body in a moment. But if you had stomach pain and the stomach pain is now gone, I want you to raise your hand. I want to see who you are, because I want to just bless what God is doing. Okay, Pastor Rick. Who else? Anyone else that just had something was wrong with your digestive system and you feel like 80% better, something has shifted? There's someone with, I mentioned bursitis. Shoulders are being healed, not just a bursitis, but different shoulder injury. Go ahead, move that shoulder. And if that pain is just lifting off of you right now, and I want to say like 80% better, would you just raise your hand wherever you are? Test it and see if it's like 80% improved right now. Just raise your hand and raise that hand that was injured. Go ahead, just raise your hand. I want to see who you are. And I want to bless. All the way in the back, I see a hand going up. All right, another one over here. Thank you. In a moment, I'm going to have you come up and testify, because we want to just hear what the Holy Spirit is doing. There's someone with a deviated septum. In other words, you can't breathe through your nose. So let's just say it may have been something that's been years, or you just can't breathe, but your sinus just opened right now, and breathe in right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. If that's you and your nose just opened up, would you just raise your hand wherever you are? Let me see who you are. Test it. Again, you have to be active. Your job is to say, that's for me, I claim it, and then act on it. Test it and see if that is you. If your sinus just opened up, just raise your hand and just say, yeah, that's me. 80% or more. Let's continue praying. I'm getting carpal tunnel syndrome. There is someone here with carpal tunnel. You have pain in your hand and your wrist going up to your arm. And move that right now if that is you. Just begin to move. Act on that word if that is you. And you just say, I claim that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. A tennis elbow, like an injury right in your elbow area. Move your elbow right now and just see if that pain is going right now. Thank you, Lord. A right knee injury, go ahead and move that right knee. God's healing someone with the right knee. Again, I'm doing listening prayer, and I'm speaking out the impressions I'm getting. Your responsibility to say, that's me, and go ahead and test it. Thank you, Lord. Test it right now. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. There's someone here, and again, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this one, but you've been fighting major depression, almost suicidal, not quite there, but just everything seems really, really black. And I break that spirit of depression off of you in Jesus' name. There's someone with a migraine headache. I just saw a head just getting healed right now. And you have had migraine headache. And if you had a headache tonight and the headache is just going lifting off you right now, you'll know if that's you. Just raise your hand. I want to see who you are. If your headache, you had a headache tonight in the meeting and it's just lifting off of you right now, just raise your hand and hold it up high and just say, that's me. It's going right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A lower back injury, and again, just move your back. You know, it says in James 2:17, faith without action is dead. You got to do something. And so if you have had lower back injury, just test it right now. Move it, sit down, or bang on your, you know, rear end. Just test it. If there's something that was wrong that is no longer, thank you, Lord. I'm just going to go ahead and cite some diseases that you'll have to get tested, but I do feel God's healing diabetics. Asthma is being healed. Receive that. Asthma, allergies, food allergies, fibromyalgia, there's pain throughout your body in the name of Jesus. And I break that again, any kind of spirit of rejection. I pick up there's someone here with some kind of heart murmur or heart palpitation, a regular heartbeat. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for healing that. I rebuke a deaf, dumb, mute spirit. Partial deafness, I just command the ear to open up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, I also want to pray for eyes. And if you have nearsighted, farsighted eye problem, put your hand on your eyes right now. If God could heal that blind girl in Madison, Wisconsin, He could heal your eyes. Command the eyes to be healed in Jesus' name. Again, even after your prayer, just test it immediately. Just look at the Bible, read something, look up here, look at something that you could not see without clarity, and now you can see it clearer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's a couple here, you've been trying to have children, and I feel like God's opening up your womb, and maybe not, your partner's not here, but you've been contending. And so we just pray that right now in the name of Jesus that you will be fruitful. Just contact me and let me know when you get pregnant. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's all stand up. Because some of you may have gotten healed while you were sitting down and you didn't stand up even for prayer, but some of them, God's just moving. And if you, I feel like there's someone also with some kind of pain in their mouth. I don't know if it's a tooth problem or like a gum problem, but just touch that place that was painful. See if that's gone. All right. Thank you, Lord. Now test it. Do something you couldn't do before. Even if I didn't call out a word. If I didn't call out a word, and again, you know, because I'm doing my best to hear, but if I didn't call something out, it doesn't mean that God doesn't know. He knows. So act on whatever you're believing God for. That's it. Move your back. Move your neck. If you had a neck injury, I didn't call out a neck, but if you, and see if it's better right now, because people just prayed for you. And some of you were just being touched by the Holy Spirit. He knows. All right. Now, I want to just ask, honestly, in God's house, if you just received a physical healing, and again, you know, it doesn't have to be 100%, but a 75, 80% or more better, would you just raise your hand? I want to see who you are. You said there's definitely, okay. Now, I want those with your hands raised, just come on out of your seat and come up here to the front, because I want to just find out what the Father's doing, okay? Just quickly, come out of your seat. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's give a hand for these people as they come out of their seat. Come on out. Yeah, let's find out what God's doing. And we're going to pray for more at the end of the service. In fact, I want the house church leaders to be ready to come on up here. But yeah, what was wrong?
I was having pain throughout my joints.
And how does it feel now?
It feels great. I can't find the pain.
Isn't that wonderful? Let's give Jesus praise and glory for it. How long did you have that pain?
2 years.
2 years of pain, and it's just, you don't feel that now. Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. That's great. Come on over here. What happened to you?
I'm on sick leave today from a fever and flu, and just all week I've been trying to get decongestants to just stop the runny nose. Even when I came in today, I was still runny, and it's gone. Yeah, I can breathe.
So all week you've had congestion, it's just cleared up. Yeah. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. What about you? What happened?
I had a really bad fall around 2 weeks ago, my lower back, and it actually affected my whole back. And now I can actually bend back a lot more, and my neck has loosened up. I can still feel a little bit of pain, but it's a lot better.
A lot better. What percentage would you say is better?
I think maybe 80%.
Okay, let's just thank you. Yeah. Father, we just thank you for the rest of the 20%. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Anyone who has this young man over here, come on over here. What was wrong?
Like a month ago, while I was playing soccer, I injured my left knee. The doctor said I tore my ACL, yeah. And I couldn't bend my left knee like fully.
No, couldn't do that fully.
No, now I can do it.
Now you can do it. Come on, Jesus, you're so good. Anyone who your eyesight has improved, you just say it's clear. It's not totally healed, but something's shifted. And I just wanted to give you an opportunity to just come on up and testify so I could pray for you as well. Or those who, you know, your ear just opened, popped open, you couldn't hear well, but you could hear better now. Just make your way up here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hang around here with the house church leaders, and we want to lay hands on you and pray for you if you need more prayer for healing. But I'm going to hand this over to Pastor Ricky, and you can just dismiss those who need to go. And thank you for allowing me to go a little bit long here. I told you I was going to 8 hours, but so I'm actually, you know, 6 hours ahead. So thank you for allowing me to share. And we'll see you. Listen, I'm going to talk about revival and reformation this weekend. And so I hope you can come out and hang out at SP this weekend.
And so let's give God a round of applause, huh? Amen. And so if you're a house church leader here or a member of the Well, if you can just come up afterwards after I give the benediction and I just kind of dismiss you, it'd be great just to be able to pray for those who need prayer. But if you need prayer, please come on up, right? We would love to pray for you. We would love to minister to you. We would just love to love on you. That's really what this is about. And so let me just pray for us, huh? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Father, we give you praise, Lord. Lord, we confess, God, we can't do anything without you. We confess that you are Lord. We confess that you are almighty. And God, that there's nothing that is impossible for you. And so, Lord, we give you praise for all the sickness, Lord, that was healed tonight. And we give you praise, Lord, for the sickness that is to be healed, Lord. We know sometimes, God, things happen right away. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time as well. And so for our friends, God, that are still dealing with a little bit of pain, Lord, we pray, God, will you bring your full and complete healing over them, God? And we say in advance, God, thank you, Lord, for what you have done and what you will do and what you will continue to do, Lord, in each of our lives. And so, Father, thank you, Lord, for Pastor Che, God. Thank you for the time that he's taken to come and really bless our church. We pray that you'll continue to bless his ministries, bless his family, God, and his wife and his children and his grandchildren. And we pray, God, that this blessing does not end with him. That, God, that this blessing will flow down through the generations, God. That, Lord, many will come to know, Lord, through him and his family, Lord. And so, God, tonight, Lord, we just want to lift our hearts to you. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and to give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So bless you guys. If you still feel like you need to receive some prayer, please come on up. So house church leaders, well members, please come up. Otherwise, we release you and we'll see you on Sunday. Amen. All right. Have a good night, guys.